been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Good Wednesday. April Fool's Day. It's Good Wednesday and April Fool's Day, all in the same day. And we have another big move upwards in the market today. I hope you read my newsletter over the weekend, and I hope you listened to the show on Monday. And yesterday, I've made a quite compelling argument as to why I saw this as one of the best buying opportunities I've seen in a long, long time. Well, we'll see. The jury's still out. The Dow is up again, however, today, after a big day yesterday. The Dow is up 300. Let's see here. Where are we at right now? I got to get my current quote. There we are. The Dow's up 235 points to 46,576. It has pulled back a little bit from the highs this morning. The NASDAQ is up another 208 points. That's 1% after a huge day yesterday. The S&P 500 is up 60 basis points or $38. Per share, it's up $38 to $65.66. The 10-year's up a little bit today. That may have something to do with just a little bit of a profit-taking round here after yesterday's big day, but we're still up. The 10-year's at 4.32. Gold, it looks pretty good again. It's up 1.8%, 4.763. Crude oil starting to drop. That's what we're waiting for. It's down 2.6 to 98.76. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And Barry, I've stuck my neck on the line again on Monday. I put it on the chopping block. And said, I reviewed the four big calls, or is it five? I think it's five now. This was the sixth one. And I said, who knows? You may be saying, well, five out of six is not bad, Bill. But I felt more conviction about this one than I did about the one last year. I mean, we obviously hit it right on the button last year during the tariff talk. This year, I thought maybe after Easter, but the conviction on the valuation, I've never seen it so good, so much upside potential so quickly with an improving earnings picture during a falling market. That's the best of all worlds.
Falling PEs. Yeah, falling PEs and upwards earnings growth expectations.
Yeah, and I even see the Schwab market strategist, not Swank, oh, we'll get to that story in a minute. She's usually pretty bearish. She's been around for a long, long time. And even she is saying, wow, this is a compelling buying opportunity. Well, some of that value is being taken out of the market very, very quickly. But there's still plenty left from my point of view. And I just go by earnings. That's what I do. I cut through the CNN, the CNBC, the Bloomberg, the Fox Business Channel, all of them, and go right to the earnings because everything else is just a lot of noise. And I'll tell you what you really got to ignore, Barry, is the clickbait on Seeking Alpha. It's doomsday in the market. Batten down the hatches. We're ready for an AI major sell. It just, oh, now all of a sudden they're all positive today. Well, those are the ones that are trending. Because
it depends
the lemmings,
on the blowing winds, right?
Yeah, talk about blowing in the wind. The lemmings just vacillate back and forth from high dividend stocks to gold to crypto, whatever the hot thing is in the market, and whatever the crowd is saying, and the mainstream media. That's pretty much the direction they go. We do have a new article submitted to Seeking Alpha. I will let you know as soon as it goes live, and we'll also send out a link, and we'll attach a PDF file of the article I don't want to get in any trouble with Seeking Alpha, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Okay, Barry. Because a lot of people complain, we can't see the article. And, you know, we put a lot of work into these articles. I can't even tell you how much. Barry, you've written several. I've written
Take some time.
It takes a lot of time. And now that I've got a junior analyst helping me, we're able to crank out a lot more articles. And I really like the stock that we wrote up this morning. I spent a couple more hours on it before the market this morning, cleaning it up just a little bit. But it was pretty good. First shot by the junior analyst. He pretty much had it. And it has been submitted to Seeking Alpha. Now let's go to yesterday. Wow, what a big day we had in the market yesterday. It exploded to the upside. By the end of the day, We had the Dow was up 1,125 points yesterday, or 2.5%. Historically, that's a big day, very big day. The NASDAQ had one of the biggest days I've seen in a long, long time. The NASDAQ was up 796, or 3.8%.
And was at that level most of the day. That's a thing too. It wasn't like it had this pop at the end or something.
No.
I mean, it was pretty much a pretty steady green day.
Yes, and we were up over 3% overall yesterday as a firm. And with today's move, we're closing in on an all-time high as far as money under management here at Gunderson. Earnings eventually went out, and that's always been true. And like I say, I hope you listened to I hope you read the newsletter over the weekend, especially that macro outlook and the charts. I hope you listened to the show on Monday, where I really kind of spent the whole show on the extreme upside potential in the market. Well, with that move in the NASDAQ yesterday of 3.83, that was one of the biggest days that I've seen in the QQQ. I don't know where that ranks overall historically, but that's a big move. And the small cap Russell 2000 was up 3.4% yesterday. The other good news yesterday, the 10 years back down to about 4.33. We were at 4.50, so we're down about 17 basis points.
And
on fear of inflation, right?
And remember, we were under four before we started this thing. So it's been a bit of a shock from a rate standpoint.
Gold is looking good again. It has corrected by a lot, and now it's basing and going sideways and starting to curl up.
I know you've had your eye on it.
That's a good chart, right? And the other thing I would say, oil is cracking 100 today. And one comment I made on Monday is I would not be buying oil futures here because that's not sustainable. And I don't know if you saw it, but there was a big build in oil, like 10 million barrels. And the fundamentals, the supply-demand equation on oil is not very good for oil prices. You're paying this huge war premium because of the Strait of Hormuz. Now I see even the United Arab Emirates is offering to pitch in to keeping that thing open. Europe has not raised a finger, and they're the ones that need it.
They need the LNG the most.
They're the ones that need it. And Trump said, "Well, if you don't want to help, you're going to have to source your own oil because we're not going to help you when you run out." And the other thing I saw today was he's not real happy with the NATO countries by pretty much snubbing us during this whole thing. Of course, they don't agree with going in there, even though it looked pretty sure thing to me that they were getting very, very close to a nuclear weapon, which they
probably
would use.
More,
they
yeah,
would
I mean,
have
it's
used
more,
it.
Yeah, it's certainly more their, neck of the woods, if you will, versus ours.
But. Well, those Iranian missiles are a lot closer to Europe than they are, to us. And he's not happy, and he's threatening to withdraw from NATO. He's kind of had it. Italy has condemned us. Spain has condemned us. Well, then you defend yourselves and get your own damn oil. we're not going to help you out with it. You know, crank up your windmills and your solar. But I love Europe. My ancestors came from England, from Scotland, and from Norway, obviously, with a name like Gunderson. So I have an affinity for Europe, but they've made a lot of bad decisions in recent years over there. Well, we hope there's going to be de-escalation. Trump's going to address the nation tonight at 9 p.m. I know where I'll be, Barry. My head will be landed softly on my pillow. No, I don't have my Boland Branch pillow, studying the backs of my eyelids while he goes. I don't know where the guy gets his energy. That's past my bedtime. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there's always risk. I mean, we're not home free yet. This bit of leaving the Strait of Hormuz for them to figure out, well, that's not too good. I mean, that's the reason why oil prices are so high right now, is because of that Strait of Hormuz. And it's, I mean, at least the way he's talking now, he says reopening the Strait of Hormuz would be left to other nations. Let them do it. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. I'm not so sure they're, but it doesn't seem like they have a choice.
I've seen where the UAE apparently has been, is kind of encouraging the U.S. to take one or more of the islands there. Particularly, I forget the name of the one that's right there in the strait. It's not the one where they do all the big one. It's another one right there at the strait. And so the UAE is like, hey, we prefer you guys to occupy that island. So
yeah, I saw that.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out long term, because, you know, if you can, I mean, the thing is, there's already been, you know, for years a higher premium, a higher insurance level on those tankers, just because, you know, Iranian ships and Navy has been harassing ships in that part of the world for a long time.
Yes.
And so it'll be, you know, you could actually potentially long term, you could reduce insurance costs and make things actually cheaper if you could,
if you get those,
have some control over it, right? And
yes,
in some form or fashion.
And the other, you know, he did say yesterday, he said the U.S. could leave Iran in 2 to 3 weeks. Now, he could be bluffing. In the meantime, the assault troops are headed in that direction, and there's that subject of enriched uranium being hidden somewhere over there. So, like I say, there's always risk, but I'm just giving you the compelling valuation on the market. The earnings have only gotten better, and the earnings expectations, they've gone way up, really, over the last several months. And when the market goes down and the earnings expectations go up, the forward P.E. craters clear down to 19.77 on Friday, which is the cheapest it's been since about this same time last year. And in the meantime, U.S. crude stockpiles rose 10.3 million barrels last week. I mean, there's the real fundamentals of oil. Oil is a supply-demand issue. There's plenty of supply in the world, and it's more than enough to keep up with the demand, but you're paying this war premium, probably somewhere at least $25 per barrel right now, and that's not sustainable, because as I've said all along, I don't think this is going to be a long, drawn-out war.
Well, and the U.S. has a great, in terms of our, you know, drilling power, right, or, you know, ability to get it out of the ground with fracking, you have much more, it's much more, you know, dynamic, where you can kind of turn that, you can turn that on and, you know, kind of amp it up pretty quickly. And, you know, once you get above, you know, 75 bucks,
bang,
a lot of frackers.
Turn on the Permian Basin.
Yeah,
it does
right.
take a little time, though, but I'm sure they're they're ramping up and have plans if they need to. Now, let's talk about gold just for a minute. UBS says that the dismal March that gold had, and I think part of it, listen to this theory I have, a lot of the dismal March for gold was, number one, you had huge profits and there was profit taking, but most of that money was going into oil and oil stocks. Now, as oil begins to drop, I see money coming back into
in the dollar strength. Remember in the dollar strengthening, obviously that move that we said where, you know, where rates went from basically just under 4 to 4.5. That makes that makes gold, it shoots the dollar up. It also makes gold less palatable because you can get more interest with money in the bank instead of saying, gold doesn't pay
a bird in the hand. UBS is upholding its bullish view on gold and putting a target price of $6,200 out there. Now, it's Liz Ann Saunders. That's who I was trying to think of. I've been watching her since the late 90s. She is the Schwab market strategist. Maybe I'll replace her someday. I don't know. They'll probably get some young buck that likes cryptocurrency and cries wolf every time the market goes down a little bit. Oversold technical market conditions look a little bit like the 90s. I totally agree. The stock market has accumulated significant oversold technical condition that set the stage for sharp rebounds. Now, she's just talking about the technical conditions. I said over the weekend, it's not only the technical conditions, but it's the valuation conditions. And, you know, she's usually pretty bearish. She's not exactly got a smile on her face too often. She's kind of worse than Jamie Dimon over the years. But I guess that's the nature of the beast. I don't know. But to see her bullish, that's quite a thing. Now, Iran threatens attacks on Nvidia, Apple, other tech majors, and I saw the press conference held in the Oval Office last night. And of course, the media, it's one negative question after another. What about this threat on our U.S. tech companies? Iran is threatening Nvidia, Apple, Google. Well, who knows? Maybe they're planning something with their small cells that they have around the world, Cisco, Intel, Oracle. And Trump's response was, what are they threatening them with? And the reporter that asked him the question didn't have an answer. And he said, you know, what are they going to use to carry out these threats? And the reporter didn't have an answer to that. But that is part of the risk out there in the market. Now, why are interest rates up today a little bit after plunging yesterday? Because of two things. Number one, the U.S. private sector added 62,000 jobs in March, more than expected. So I guess that means on Friday, or is it Thursday? Is it Good Thursday we get the tomorrow?
I think they should move it up a day. That's usually what they do. So we probably get a plethora of we'll probably get weekly jobless claims tomorrow. We'll probably get non-farm payrolls as well, which usually is on a Friday.
So there's still no sign of a recession if we gauge the jobs market, which is usually where things start to deteriorate first, and we're seeing no deterioration whatsoever. I'm sure we'll get the initial jobless claims tomorrow. And we had retail sales increase by more than expected in February. Now, the effects of higher gasoline prices maybe weren't in those February numbers, but the retail sales numbers were good. I mean, I just watch the world around me and the places I go, and I'm definitely seeing a strong consumer still, at least in our neck of the woods. And that also, you know, increased, that helped raise interest rates here a little bit today. Now, when we come back, big tech has been under severe pressure. It had a big bounce yesterday. Meta had a big bounce. SanDisk had a big bounce. I want to go over the spot price of memory chips. Yes, it trades on the, right next to pork bellies are memory chips. The guy in the cow suit takes his cow suit off and puts on a Western digital hat or whatever. And I want to talk about Micron and the money they're going to spend on a Texas power plant and the premium that these power providers, these are great stocks right now to be looking at for the data centers. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're packing the bags for Sarasota, headed down there Monday, and Tuesday we'll be teaching a workshop at the Even Hotel in Lakewood Ranch, which has become one of the biggest retirement communities in America.
Yeah. Yeah. We always have a blast down there.
Yes, we have a blast. And Tuesday and Wednesday during the day, those one-hour appointments. So, you know, getting down to your last chance to reserve a spot to one or both, or call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. To reserve a seat. And our next trip, well, you know, I'm still weighing it out in my mind. There's three top candidates. We're going to try to do two this quarter. We only did one in the first quarter of this year. We had some bad weather in January and February. Yep. Think of our frozen, you know. I felt like I was living in the movie Frozen. We finally got a trip into Houston. Who did I see speaking from Houston? Maybe it was Trump. Somebody, one of the big... Oh, no, it was Ted Cruz was speaking in Houston yesterday. I saw a little bit of that. He was talking about oil prices. I don't know if he was at the Galleria. It kind of looked familiar.
He should have been talking about the lines that we've seen at...
Yeah. Well, okay, let's get back to work here. We still got a lot to talk about. This battle for power for the data centers continues to rage on, and we will have an article out today. Let me just see if that thing has gone positive. Yeah, they have to review it, so it goes into a queue.
Yep, and then
but we have dedicated editors because they like our material. And they usually jump right on it. No feedback yet. Let's see. Nope. It was submitted 2 hours ago. So I said, look, if you guys don't get it done, we'll just wait. Release it tomorrow morning, early in the morning, before the market opens. We'll see what ends up. But it's definitely a play along this next story that I want to talk about. You know, I think Texas is going to be the data center capital of the world. Because they have energy right there.
Exactly.
And the company that we wrote up today is basically a natural gas provider. And we've talked a lot about that. It does not seem like nuclear is like right around the corner. And even though, you know, there's a lot of talk about the small modular reactors and, you know, building new nuclear power plants across America, you know, It takes time, and that's really shown up. I'm glad we got out of Constellation Energy, which is Three Mile Island, because they've reported recently that, you know, it ain't going to be any time soon when we're firing this thing back up, and that stock has not done well. I knew that
longer,
nuclear...
Long duration. Right?
They're long duration. I didn't think it would be this long. We own two. I got to think about that for a minute. Nuclear, but in the meantime, natural gas is the natural play to power these data centers and this stock that we wrote up. But there's news today. Microsoft is in talks with Chevron. Okay, Chevron's becoming a data center player. And while we were in Houston, we talked with the guy that works for the data center division of Schlumberger, which I never thought. But there's a long-term deal that Microsoft is working on with Chevron in West Texas to provide electricity to power a large data center campus. The proposed natural gas-fired power plant is projected to cost $7 billion. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing big tech sell off is these spends that they're doing. It will initially generate 2,500 megawatts of electricity, making one of the largest of its kind in the U.S., according to the report. And, of course, Microsoft stock, which bounced hard to the upside yesterday, but I reminded people that follow me on X that, you know, our upside potential on Microsoft is deadly dull. It's like 46% upside over the next 5 years. We want 80% or more. So we still have, we do not own Microsoft at the current time. And one of the reasons is all this money they're having to spend. OpenAI raises another $3 billion from individual investors.
They haven't had trouble raising money.
No, they're just throwing money at Sam Altman. Here, duck this. There's another $20 billion. They just closed a round of $122 billion in funding. OpenAI, it almost seems like they're going to dominate the world. AI is showing up in almost everything I do now, and not in a good way, I would have to say. When I submitted the article to Seeking Alpha, it rearranged my article. AI rearranged. I uploaded my Word file, and it rearranged things. I don't like that. And I had to put it back into a logical order. And there was a little disclaimer. You know, make sure after you upload the Word file that things are right. We're using AI, and it's not 100% accurate. 100%? It's about 50% accurate. I was mad that I had to rearrange all of this stuff. No, I don't like that at all. That's a bad idea. And just speaking of bad ideas, Dow Jones bought a perfect product, one of the best products you ever want to use. I've used it for 25 years. That's the Daily Graphs from William J. O'Neill's Investor's Business Daily. And they have now the legacy version and the beta version. The beta version sucks. It totally uses AI, and there's so much crap. If you move your mouse, everything shrinks or expands. It sucks. And I'm not going to have a choice here in about 2 weeks. We're getting rid of William O'Neill was a crackerjack for getting to you just the information that's important along with the chart. I love those charts, and now they've worsified it big time. A big Wall Street firm took it over, and I'm not happy. I think I might create my own Daily Graphs, damn it. I know I could. Memory spot price decline, not likely anything more than a correction, says GF Securities. Well, you know what? I've got to find that. It's out there somewhere. There's a spot price reported daily on memory, which proves what we've been saying all along. It's very much a commodity. But right now, the valuation, now I don't know how this works out. I got to look into this guy's math. This is a guy that works for, he's their analyst. He sees, he's valuing it on book value. Book value per share could exceed $300 per share in fiscal year 2028. Suggesting 1.3 times book value. Well, let's just look at the app right now and see what the current book value is. But it's really the forward book value that you have to get into because of the huge growth in book value that's coming. But just for fun, let's look it up and see what the book... I've never heard of valuing a chip stock using book value, but this is what this guy's doing because of the commodity nature of the stock. So if we go to price per book value, which is one of the common, I get five. It's trading at five right now, but that's looking backwards. That's the deal. I mean, if you look forward, that would take some real work to figure out what the forward book value ratio is. But the bottom line is this guy is saying there's plenty of upside potential out to 2028 on Micron, despite this fall. And that's why these stocks have been weak lately, because of the fall in the spot DRAM price index. Something else to watch on a daily basis, if there's not enough out there already. It's right under wheat or soybeans or whatever it is. I don't know. We'll have to look into that one and find it and start tracking it maybe in the newsletter on Friday, since we do own a couple of these memory stocks right now.
I don't think they had DRAM in the old movie Trading Places. They were they didn't. I don't think DRAM. We had DRAM invented by then, but they did have the frozen. Always remember that movie with the frozen orange juice futures.
Yes, and the Dramamine futures. I mean, you're going out on a fishing boat. What are the odds of you go to the probability markets? I used to take people fishing, and the odds of them getting seasick were pretty high.
Yeah, they were.
On my boat. I just somehow was blessed with a stomach that doesn't get seasick. When we come back, lawmakers now are stepping into the private credit markets. They're going to probe Blackstone, Ares, and peers over their private credit practices. And I would say this, where were you a year and a half, 2 years ago when I was raising red flags? Why didn't you stop this before it got so big? We'll be right back.
On a winter's day.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And as I mentioned, the Democratic faction in the House Financial Service Committees are questioning Wall Street's largest private credit firms, including Blackstone, Ares Management, over how they market, value, and manage the asset class. Lawmakers have sent inquiries to several firms focusing on the structure and operations of private credit vehicles, such as business development companies. These are the BDCs that we talk about all the time. Other firms receiving questions include Apollo Global Management, BlackRock, Blue Owl Capital, Carlyle Group, and KKR. Well, you know, maybe we need to do a little article on private credit. We should have done it 2 years ago, and I should have been calling my congressman a couple years ago, or congresswoman, I guess. We got Nancy Mace.
Well, you did write the article on about dividend stocks, and that one.
Yeah, that went over like a lead balloon, but definitely. That's too bad, guys. You know, you're wrong about these double-digit dividend payers. You were dominating the headlines not too long ago, and now you're nowhere to be found. Where will you be when your robo-taxi goes out? I don't know. I have not gotten in one yet, but Baidu had a major disruption in China's Wuhan city on Tuesday after several Apollo Go robo-taxis stopped mid-ride. Yeah, you could be on a bridge with no
who knows
stranding passengers and raising fresh concerns about autonomous vehicle reliability. There's another AI story gone bad. I always talk about, you know, before AI came along, we've had autopilot in boats you know, for a long, long time. And I could tell you two horror stories. We had a boat leave San Diego at midnight with about 50 passengers on it. Left about 10 p.m. It takes about 5-6 hours to get out to the fishing grounds in the summertime to chase those bluefin tuna or yellowfin tuna. And the captain went to take a nap, put the boat in autopilot, and that boat crashed into the Coronado Islands, which are just a few miles off San Diego. Next thing you knew, 50 passengers were in the water swimming for safety. Autopilot, see. So I believe AI is a tremendous aid. Tremendous aid, more powerful than anything I've ever seen, and I try to use it to my good as much as possible to find answers very, very quickly to difficult questions like, why is my locomotive not running? Stuff like that, you know. No, but, you know, I ask it all. After my 10-hour day in the market, I start asking questions. Why did the tech stocks sell off like they did today? So I like AI a lot. But I believe it has its limitations. That human touch is hard to, very difficult. We'll find out. I mean, I think maybe you can get 95% of the way there, but that last 5% is intuition, different things, feelings, emotion, etc.
It's the trust but verify at the end.
Yeah,
right? It's like, okay, the machine says this final final choice, right?
And of course, SpaceX is teeing up their mega IPO with 21 different banks involved. Be interesting to see how much SpaceX is losing. You know, that's losing tons of money. There's no earnings in it. But they have revenue. This will be one of the largest underwriting syndicates in recent years. And for that matter, I mean, there's a race on for Anthropic to go, speaking of AI, Anthropic and OpenAI to go public. And the first one to the markets, I think, that's a big advantage. But it'll be interesting to see how much money they're losing. And will they ever be profitable? That's a real, real question. On these stocks. So get ready for the SpaceX IPO. Nike. Why would anybody own Nike? Here's an example. There's so many stocks out there. 80% of the market maybe should not even be publicly traded. But somebody's got to buy Colgate. Somebody's got to buy Nike. Somebody's got to buy, and I think they just traded around amongst the big blue chip firms.
Institutional ownership, 81%. We talk about these soggy ones, like, and they just tend to be owned.
Yeah, Conagra reports today. Conagra has not returned anything to investors except soggy French fries. I will say this. One of the best inventions of all time, besides AI, the air fryer.
It's AF. A good one, isn't it?
Yeah. Isn't that a good one? I mean, I can put a handful of frozen French fries from Conagra in the air fryer. In 5 or 6 minutes, I got some pretty good French fries without getting out the deep fryer and the grease and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like it for leftovers. I'm a texture guy,
man.
So I like crisping up whatever.
Yeah.
Right? It does kind of bring things back to life.
Yeah, but for poor Conagra, it hasn't helped them much. And another one, Tilray. I remember when Tilray was $300 a share, and when we went to Sarasota, all these retirees were asking me about cannabis stocks. That was about 10 years ago. I said, don't touch them. And don't touch the cannabis either, pal. I don't care how bad your arthritis is. There's better solutions. But Tilray has just absolutely been a terrible stock, and it's the blue chip. And there were cannabis analysts popping up all over town and all over the country writing up research reports on cannabis, and it kind of took over Seeking Alpha for a while. Well, it went up in smoke. RH, Restoration Hardware, getting slaughtered today. Interest rates are too high. People aren't changing homes. They can't leave their mortgage and have to go out and get a 6.5% mortgage.
Or a new coffee table.
No, and that's crippled the Restoration Hardware, the furniture companies, the remodelers, etc. Maybe the remodelers are doing well, but I wonder if RH still has plans. I mean, they had announced.
They're still supposed to build the one here in Charleston.
Yeah, right down there on prime property on Bay Street by that new hotel, the Cooper Hotel, Restoration Hardware.
Yeah,
We're out of time, and you're running out of time to reserve a seat to Sarasota. We're going to have a lot of fun there Tuesday night, maybe give out a few cookies. Not the kind that they get from websites and whatnot. Anyways, give us a call, set up an appointment, look into our portfolios, everything from the most calm thing, Pepto-Bismol portfolio, very low volatility, and then each one steps up a little bit. But the main objective is growth. growth, quality. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Sign up for the newsletter, the live alerts, the app, GundersonCapital.com.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.